It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levenier, for an hour of mystery. Coming up later on, we hear The Lineup, a CBS episode from 1952, but now one of the Columbia Broadcasting System's most popular mystery and crime anthology shows, The Whistler. From February 25, 1946, Gerald Moore, Joseph Kearns, and Elliot Lewis star in the Eleanor Beeson story, Murder in Haste.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
Strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for The Whistler, rated by independent research the most popular West Coast program. And remember, let every traffic signal remind you, with new Signal gasoline, you do go farther than ever. Look for the familiar big yellow and black circle sign that identifies those popular Signal service stations in seven western states from Canada to Mexico. And now, The Whistler's strange story, Murder in Haste.
Albert Taylor was two people. To the cafe society crowd in Miami, he was the charming young husband of a silver fortune from Denver, aged 45, amply mature, and a little crotchety. To his wife, Helen, the silver fortune, he was something else again, an unpleasant little boy whose unpleasantness had to be bought off with $100 bills instead of chewing gum. This made for friction, of course. After 3 years of marriage, Helen was heartily sick of both Alberts, and more careful with the $100 bills. And Albert, too, had reached the saturation point. As a matter of fact, the unpleasant little boy was on the verge of a tantrum.
Albert, is that you?
Yeah.
Albert, I'm awfully upset.
Oh, what now?
My bracelet, the diamond and emerald one. I put it in the drawer of my vanity last night, after the party.
Well, what about it?
It's gone. I've questioned the servants and they
don't... Did you call the police?
No.
Good.
What do you mean?
I told you I'd get money somewhere, Helen.
You took it?
Of course I took it.
I see. And what did you do with it?
I sold it, of course.
Oh!
What did you expect? Think I'm going to sit up and beg you for every time I need $5?
Oh.
Sure, that's what you want, isn't it? Come one, come all. Watch Albert, the trained terrier. Eats, sleeps, walks, talks, thinks like a human being.
That's enough, Albert.
You bet it's enough. I'm sick of it. I'm through being your favorite charity.
You don't know how right you are.
Well, what does that mean?
It's very simple. I'm going to call the police and tell them you've stolen my bracelet.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't be ridiculous.
Get away from me.
Give me that phone.
Let go of my hand.
Why, you... What? You nagging...
Oh.
Mr. Disagreeable...
Albert! Albert!
You want to watch me jump, don't you? You want to crack the whip and watch me jump.
Albert, you're hurting me.
Yes.
Let go, please.
I'll hurt you all right.
Oh, Albert.
I'd like to shake you until...
Oh.
I'd like to shake until your teeth fall out. You...
Do something. Why don't you go over there to the hearth and help her up? Or perhaps you're not as dazed as you look, standing there in the middle of the room. Maybe even now you realize Helen isn't going to get up, because she struck her temple on the andiron when you hurled her across the room. Yes, Albert. She's lying there so very still, because she's dead.
With the prologue of tonight's story, Murder in Haste. The Signal Oil Company brings you another strange story by The Whistler. Don't forget the amazing power in new Signal gasoline that makes performance possible also makes new Signal more than ever the go farther gasoline. And now, back to The Whistler.
No more ugly squabbles over money. No more jumping through hoops for Helen. Because the last argument was final, wasn't it? So final that Helen lies dead in front of the hearth. A minute later, you've decided on the only course of action possible. You leave her in her bedroom and lock the door. The servants in their separate quarters are used to your arguments and probably have paid no attention. 2 hours and 20 minutes later, you're standing on the observation platform of the limited express bound for Jacksonville and points north.
Nice night.
Oh, I didn't hear you come up.
Sorry. I said it was a nice night.
Yeah.
I saw you running for the train when we were pulling out. Just made it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was kind of close, all right.
Yeah. You been in Miami long?
No, been fishing off the Keys just a week or so.
I see. My name's Ricketts.
Glad to know you. I'm Brown, Richard Brown.
Uh-huh. You going up to New York, Brown?
That's right. Well, I guess I'll be getting inside, Ricketts.
Good idea. I'll go with you.
You knew it the minute he opened his mouth, didn't you, Albert? Ricketts is a plainclothes cop. And there can be only one reason why he's so interested in you. He's right behind you as you walk back through the train to your seat. And you're wondering if he'll sit beside you when you stop there. Then when you're 10 feet from it hits you, you realize why he's following you. Your luggage with your initials E.T. on it is in the baggage rack over the seat. And Ricketts is just waiting for you to stop there. You hold your breath and keep on going.
Brown?
Yeah?
Isn't this your seat?
Why, no. I have a compartment up ahead.
Oh, I see. Well, good night, Brown.
Good night.
There's only one place to go, the club car and the bar, where you can sit for a minute and think.
Yes, sir?
Make it a Manhattan. Dry.
Dry Manhattan. Right, sir.
Thank you. Oh, is this your magazine here, sir?
What? Oh, no.
May I look at it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Are you going to New York?
Yes.
Well, it'll be cold up there this time of year. A lot of snow and all that.
Yes, I suppose so.
You know, I'm as excited as a kid. I haven't seen snow for an age. Matter of fact, I haven't set foot in America for, 5 years. Oh, it's great to be back. I get a kick out of just talking to Americans again.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my compartment a few minutes ago and
A compartment?
Oh, yeah. A couple of cars ahead.
Oh. My name's Brown, Mr.
Jameson. Leslie Jameson.
Jameson? Wait a minute. You're not the mystery writer.
I'm afraid I am, yes.
Here you are, sir. Draw Manhattan.
Oh, thank you. Well, here's to you, Mr.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Say, Jameson.
Hmm?
Why don't we go to your compartment? Be quieter there. We could have the drink sent in.
Why, of course, if you'd like.
Yes, Albert, the compartment would be quieter. And you'd feel a little more comfortable, particularly since you noticed your friend Mr. Ricketts stroll into the bar and sit down. Still hunting for the occupant of your seat, no doubt. Mr. Jameson finds the compartment pleasanter, too.
Well, a man can't stay forever in Buenos Aires and continue to write for the American public. Has to keep in touch, you know. Don't you think so?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, of course.
So you say you left Buenos Aires, huh?
Yes, planned to anyway, but made it a little earlier on account of that nasty business with my assistant.
Ah, yes, I see.
Well, I'll probably go back in a year or so. Did you ever read anything of mine, Brown?
I can't say I've done much reading in the detective storyline. You have a serial running in one of the magazines right now, haven't you?
Yes. Murder in Haste. I don't suppose you're reading it.
No, I'm sorry. If I'd known I was going to meet the author, I'd have boned up on it.
Oh, don't apologize, Brown. Well, how about a nightcap before we turn in, eh?
Oh, it's early yet, Jameson. Surely you're not going to give up the ship so soon.
Well, I've got to confess I'm a little bush. I've been rattling on like a magpie all evening. Yeah. There you are.
Oh, thanks. Wow, that's beautiful brandy.
None better. Well, Brown, what do we drink to?
Oh,
I have it to crime, Brown. Mighty profitable business, for me at least. Yeah, here's to crime. You know, that's odd. Murder is my business, and yet I've never in my life seen a murdered man.
Not a fact?
No, never been in a police court. Hardly ever known a policeman. I'm really sort of a phony when you get right down to it. Well, Brown, it's been great talking to you, but I...
Tell me more about your agent. You were saying you've never met him personally?
Oh, Farrell. Well, he's a great agent. I've often wondered what he looks like. Sometimes I think he must be a magician with a long beard, the way he pulls royalties out of a hat. Sold my leading character to a radio series.
Well, you've never even been to New York?
Never. Probably the only man in the business who can say that. Well, Brown, it's close to midnight,
look,
and
Jameson,
I...
what about the serial you're running? Maybe you could bring me up to date on it, and
I'll tell you about it tomorrow, Brown. Right now, I'm awfully tired.
Oh, it's early yet.
Now, see here, I don't want to be rude, but I'll have to ask you to...
Good Lord, what's that? They're trying to stop it. Stop the train. Back up!
An open switch, a signal down, and the southbound local is suddenly there on the same track without warning. It's over in a split second, and then you open your eyes, Albert. You're all right, miraculously safe, in the tangled network of steel and splintered wood that used to be a Pullman car. And there's Leslie Jameson. He wasn't so lucky, Albert. There's nothing you can do for him now. The other end of the coach is in flames, and they're moving towards you. Finally, you manage to get out.
I gotta get out. Through this window. Watch this glass.
Here, let me help you.
Oh,
give me your hand.
That's it. Oh, thanks.
You all right?
I think so. I'm a little dizzy.
Oh, sure. Oh, it's you, Mr. Brown.
Oh, Ricketts.
Yeah, you're lucky. This coach got it worst of all. Look at that fire.
Yeah, got out just in time.
Hey, that fellow you were drinking with at the bar went to your compartment with you. He's still in there?
My compartment?
Pretty sure he's Albert E. Taylor, murdered his wife in Miami. Is he still there?
No. No, he left a few minutes before the crash.
Well, you better get on ahead, Mr. Brown. Yeah. I gotta give him a hand here. Can you make it up to the crossing?
Yeah.
There's a highway restaurant up there.
Sure. I'm okay. Thanks.
Okay, Brown. Take it easy.
Oh, well.
Well, Albert, you stand there dazed for a minute, watching the fire move closer. Then you decide to take a chance. Crawl back to Leslie Jameson's body. Take his wallet, his ring and watch. Exchange them for your ring and watch. Engraved, to Albert with all my love, Helen. Then as the flames move close, you find his briefcase and bag and crawl out with him. 10 minutes later, you stagger into the highway restaurant at the grade crossing.
Say, wonder if you fellas can help me.
Hurt, mister? We got the doc in the back room. Come on.
No, I'm all right. I just want to get out of here. I thought I could hire a car or get a bus to New York.
You were in the wreck?
Yeah.
Say, I'm the AP correspondent here. Could you give me your name?
I'm Leslie Jameson.
Leslie G. Say, aren't you the fellow who writes those murder mysteries?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if that ain't a coincidence, Frank. Only last night you and me made that bet.
Yeah, and now we can settle it once and for all.
Yeah, we was betting which one would turn out to be the murderer in that serial you're running in a post.
Oh, well, that's very flattering. Now, I wonder if you could help me about the bus, I mean...
Say, Mr. Jameson, could you give us an advance tip on the murderer?
Yeah, then we won't have to wait for the magazine to come out tomorrow.
Who was it, Mr. Jameson?
Who?
Well, I don't think that would be...
Give me a fast cup of coffee, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Ricketts.
Oh, pretty rough out there. 3 cars gone. What are you guys standing around here for? You been out there and looked at it?
Well, I gotta stand by the
car. I'm a reporter, pal, and I'm getting a story. Or I was until
Skip
you...
It. How do you feel, Brown?
Brown? That's Leslie Jameson, the writer.
Huh? I thought your name was Brown.
Well, of course I... Well, you know how it is.
Here's your coffee.
Thanks. No, Mr. Brown, I don't know how it is. How is it?
Leslie Jameson, famous mystery story writer.
Well?
Traveling incognito, well, narrowly escaped death.
You see, Ricketts, I didn't want to...
Oh, I get it.
We've been reading Mr. Jameson's serial in the Post, Murder in Haste. Had a little bet with Frank here on who the murderer was.
Oh, I can tell you that. I read the last installment last night.
Hey, yeah?
Sure. Got it at a newsstand in Miami.
Well, we ain't got it here yet. Well, Mr. Jameson, who done it?
Well, I don't want to spoil the story for you. You ought to finish.
Afraid we won't buy another copy of the magazine?
Yeah, come on, Jameson.
Well, it's a matter of ethics. A writer...
What do you mean, ethics? I know how it ends.
Sure, Jameson. I can tell the boys I got it straight from the author's mouth. Come on, now, what goes?
Well, I don't want...
I got your car, Lieutenant.
Oh, good. I'll be right with you. Hey, you guys know anyone who wants to go to New York? I got a car and I want someone to share the driving.
Well, Jameson...
Sure, you said you were going to New York, didn't you, Jameson?
Well, as a matter of fact...
Well, you can come with me, huh? Give me a hand with the driving. Come on.
All right.
Oh, but first, give him a break. Tell him who the murderer was.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's against my principles.
Well, it's your business. Come on.
Hey, it was the old lady did it.
You got hotel space in New York, Jameson?
No, not yet. I thought I'd arrange that when I arrived.
You haven't been around much lately, I see. Probably isn't a room to be had.
That bad?
Worse. Well, I think I might be able to fix you up at the Midtown. I know the manager there.
No, I couldn't possibly.
Oh, forget it, Jameson. Glad to help you out. Can you fix him up, Walter?
Well, I think so. Just sign the register, Mr.
Jameson. Leslie Jameson, the writer.
Well, why didn't you say so?
Look, I don't want to put you out.
Oh, nonsense. We're honored, Mr. Jameson. I'm a mystery fan myself. I want to tell you that Murder in Haste has me fooled right up to the last page. Oh, Peters.
Yes, sir?
This is Mr. Leslie Jameson. Now, get the boys over. I want to take a few pictures.
Pictures? No. Wait a minute. I don't want any pictures.
Oh, nothing to it, Mr. Jameson. Just a couple of the boys from the Star Express. I know you're tired, but it won't take long. And Peters,
yes?
Have some flowers sent up to Mr. Jameson's room. We'll have the pictures taken there. Peters is our press agent, Mr. Jameson. He'll take care of you.
Oh, certainly will, Mr. Jameson. Right this way.
Say, look here, Peters. You look like a reasonable man. I never have my picture taken, and I don't intend to stand for it now.
You just don't know New York newspaper photographers, Mr. Jameson. It's much easier if you give in.
What'll happen if I refuse?
You'll find out.
And you did find out, didn't you, Elbert? You were helpless. There was nothing you could do. They came, they saw, they took pictures, and all you could do was rage and try to keep your face covered. And that only made a better story for them. They were delighted, Elbert. The next day, there are pictures of you in the tabloids, hiding your face under the caption, Leslie Jameson, mystery author, stages publicity scene in room at Midtown Hotel. And to complete the success of your change of identity, the second page of the same paper carries the news that you, Elbert Taylor, wanted for the murder of his wife in Miami, perished in the train wreck. You're all mixed up now, aren't you, Elbert? But you almost wish Helen was with you again to make the decisions for you like she used to. And then suddenly there's nothing for you to do. The decision is all made.
Yes?
Mr. Jameson?
Yes?
Mrs. Jameson is on her way up.
What?
Your wife. I assumed it would be all right to tell her that...
Never mind.
Hello, Leslie.
Oh, what are you...
Maybe I'd better come in. Well?
Well, what? All right, what you going to do about it?
You're an awfully simple sort. aren't you, Mr., whatever your name is?
All right, I suppose I am.
How did you expect to get away with it after all the publicity? All right, where is he? What have you done to
him? Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Jameson. I can explain.
Maybe you'd better.
Your husband was killed in that train wreck in Florida. I had reasons for wanting to disappear, so I took his identity. I never meant to keep it up. Now, if you'll just...
Just what?
Now, look, there's nothing we can do for your husband. Now he was killed. You believe that, don't you?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to leave town. All I ask is that you forget you ever saw me.
I see.
What are you going to do?
I could go to the police,
no,
of course.
Wait a minute. Wait. I can make it worth your while to...
Oh, stop simpering. Does anyone know you here in New York?
No.
Well, that's very fortunate. You see, Leslie and I, we didn't get along. As a matter of fact, we'd been separated for some time. He said he was cutting me out of his will. So, with Leslie dead, I don't get anything at all. But, with Leslie alive...
Wait a minute. You wouldn't...
Why not? He could retire right now and live off his royalties without doing another lick.
You want me to keep this up?
Of course.
Don't be ridiculous. A dozen reasons why I can't. They'll discover it in a week.
You have his baggage.
Yes.
And I know his signature. I can imitate it perfectly. I know his background like a book. You may as well get used to it, Mr. Jameson.
Oh, I tell you, I won't do it. It's the most fantastic thing I ever heard of.
There's a Lieutenant Ricketts down in the lobby. You know, he seemed quite interested in our relationship. Of course, if you like, I'll bring him up to date.
All right, Mrs. Jameson.
Oh, darling, just call me Ruth. Mm-hmm. Ah, there's a dear.
Ruth.
Yes, what is it?
I tell you, this can't go on. You're spending money like a child. $28,000 in 3 months, besides the deposits I made to your account. Why, we're behind in the rent. The maid hasn't been paid. Just look at these bills. Look at them. I haven't got a penny.
Are you all through? You know, there's your quarterly royalty check due tomorrow.
That'll only pay part of the
bills. It's not paying any of them, darling. It's going into my account.
Oh, I see. Maybe you've got a fast way of getting out from under these bills?
That's your worry, dear. Not mine.
Five, seven, 14, 32.
Having trouble?
Oh, nothing at all, sweetheart. It's just that my account's overdrawn by $500.
Of course, you could finish your book, dear.
Sure. Finish the book. Write a Leslie Jameson mystery novel.
Well, then I suppose you'll just have to think of something else.
Ruth, be honest with me. Actually, how long do you intend to carry on with this?
Indefinitely, dear. You know, I know when I have a good thing.
You mean, then, there's no end?
Oh, there is if you want one. There are always the police, of course.
Will you quit throwing that up to me? You could be decent about it, you know. There could have been plenty without you bleeding me to death.
I think I've been pretty fair with you.
6 months now. No sleep. Hounded day and night. I can't eat.
This isn't getting us anywhere.
Trying to dodge my shadow. I'm getting nowhere. Afraid all the time. This dagger hanging over my head.
Albert, what happened to you? Albert, get a hold of yourself.
No way out, is there? What? I'm trapped. What? Yeah, I run into a corner. There's no
Albert.
Way to turn.
Albert,
there's no way to
from
turn,
me.
Is there?
What are you doing?
No way to turn. You're the desk sergeant?
That's right. What can I do for you?
Well, you can take this down.
What's the matter, pal?
I just killed my wife.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with the strange ending of tonight's story. Meantime, a word about that extra something you get when you have your car serviced at independently operated Signal gasoline stations.
I'm talking about that feeling of confidence and well-being you have as you drive out, knowing that your car has been thoroughly and conscientiously taken care of. You see, signal dealers, being in business for themselves, do go out of their way to give you the kind of job they're proud to stand back of. When they lubricate your car, for instance, here's what signal dealers do to make sure not a single point is overlooked. Instead of relying on memory, they check each point against signal's lubrication chart, which shows every lubrication point on your car and specifies which of signal's 9 specialized oils and greases each part should have for long, trouble-free service. But they don't even stop there, no sir. Just to make doubly sure, they check each point again, which is why it's called signal double-check lubrication. And that's the kind of service you'll get from your friendly neighborhood signal gasoline dealer. And now, back to the Whistler.
Well, Elbert, for the first time since that awful night in Miami, you feel relaxed. It's over now, isn't it? The hounding, the fear, the dagger hanging over your head. They're gone now. You sit down in a chair by the sergeant's desk and start to tell him the whole thing.
And then I wandered around the streets all night. I thought about running away again. And then it all seemed so useless.
So you came into the station and spilled it, huh?
Aren't you going over there?
We've been there. Found her an hour after you did it.
I see. You may as well know that she's not my wife.
Yeah, we know that, Mr. Jameson. She was your assistant in Buenos Aires.
What?
You say she was shaking you down, huh? What'd she have on you?
My assistant.
Oh, that's right, your assistant. Have you had a lapse of memory or something, Jameson?
The assistant? Yes, I
remember. Tell me, Jameson, what was she threatening to take to the police? Okay, but a 3-year-old would have known it was a bluff. That's the last thing in the world she would have done.
No, you don't know her. She would have done anything.
Not if it meant her neck, pal.
Huh?
You have got a bum memory, Jameson. It was all over Buenos Aires 6 months ago. She's wanted down there for murder.
Monday at 9 o'clock, the Whistler will bring you another strange tale. The Whistler is broadcast for your entertainment by the marketers of Signal Gasoline and Motor Oil and fine quality automotive accessories and by your neighborhood Signal dealer. This program produced by George W. Allen with tonight's story by Eleanor Beeson, music by Wilbur Hatch, is transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The Whistler on Tune 2 Yesterday, a CBS radio broadcast from February 25th, 1946. The Eleanor Beeson story, Murder in Haste. It was repeated again in December of 47 on the show, and 10 years after that on ABC Mystery Time. It is an hour of mystery on Tune 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. Coming up next, the lineup. We hear an episode featuring Larry Thor from June 17th, 1952 on CBS.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is the lineup.
Oh, slow today.
Oh, I wouldn't kick about that. Cigarette?
Yeah, thanks.
Where are you going on your vacation?
No place. I'm going to paint the house.
some vacation.
Yeah. House needs painting. Peeling pretty bad.
Hey, any brushes?
Oh, thanks, Quinn. Neighbor's gonna loan them to me.
Hey, I have your attention, please.
You,
people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience
room. No,
have your
just
attention.
Thought I'd watch Cogger work.
Thank you.
How's for lunch?
My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. Now, the questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. All the way to the end of the stage, boys. Keep it moving all the way. You in front there.
Me? You mean me?
Yes, you, over here, this end of the stage. Now get over here. All right, now turn and face the front. You again.
Me?
Yes, the front. Face the screen. Stop talking in the line. You, number one, shut up.
Okay.
All right, number one, Tony Lascelli, alias Tom Leslie, 12 arrests, 3 convictions. Probation, 6 months on the first sentence, 3 years on the second. Car theft and robbery. Step out, Lascelli. I said step out.
To where?
You've been in lineups enough to do it blindfolded. Now step out.
This suit you?
Where do you live?
In a dump. With my old man.
What's the address, Tony?
I don't know, someplace in the Bronx.
What's the address, Tony?
I ain't been in 6 or 7 years. How you think I'm going to remember all that?
What's your age, Tony?
23. And I'm tired of getting pushed around by you guys.
Not asking your opinion. I just want facts.
Well, that's a fact.
Where do you live here?
Here? I've been in this stinking town 2 hours. Cop picked me up too fast, even rent a park bench.
You want it in St. Louis, Denver, Phoenix, and Los Angeles?
Yeah, I get around, huh?
The charges run from suspicion of armed robbery to assault with a deadly weapon, a knife.
Oh, nuts. I only nicked them.
What brought you to this town?
Guy had a job for me.
What kind of job?
Well, I guess you call it a bill collector.
Explain it.
Well, this guy wins 3 G's in a game and don't collect, so he wants I should collect for him.
Who hired you?
You got him already. He's down the line there.
Number 6, Ronnie Dowling?
Yeah, that's him.
I hope you have a pleasant stay with us, Tony. Now, we'll see if we do better with you. Number 2, Thomas Vincent, open charge. Step into the circle. Where do you live, Thomas?
Well, 6000 Parkway Terrace.
Is that a house?
Well, it's an apartment hotel. I'm in apartment C.
What do you do for a living?
That's on the 3rd floor, apartment C.
Thank you, Thomas. Now, what do you do for a living?
Nothing.
You live in a pretty expensive neighborhood.
Boy, you're telling me.
What do you do for a living?
You asked me that once.
I didn't like your answer. Well?
Well, what?
What do you do for a living?
I told you, nothing.
What do you do for a living, Thomas?
I keep books.
What you mean is you make books.
Yeah. I'm a bookie.
Where were you arrested, Thomas?
In a bar.
What bar? Where?
I don't know the name.
Yeah, we're wanted in robbery.
Remember, Thomas.
Okay.
Nick's Grill. It's on South Henry.
Yeah, that's...
You have any weapons?
Weapons? Oh, boy.
Cogger sure had it today.
I saw a couple of other guys.
Oh, who?
2 bank tellers. Dead.
Where?
3 guys took the National Trust Bank. Submachine guns. Tore up the place.
All right. Everybody keep moving. Jackson, keep it clear. Move it along.
Hi, Ben.
Hello, Asher.
Well, that's pretty nasty in there.
Yeah, I expect. You're pretty well organized out here?
Yeah. I'll have some more men here in a minute. They're roping off the side entrance now.
Okay, rope it off here, too.
Mally's setting it.
The area covered?
It's tight.
Okay, let's go in.
Right.
Mally, set that rope all the way. Hey, you folks here, keep moving right along, please.
Come on, now, move along.
What kind of a car do they use?
Well, I don't know yet. We're checking witnesses.
Move along, everybody. Keep moving. There's nothing to see.
They come out here?
Uh-uh. Side entrance.
All right, now move along.
Hello, Ben.
Hi, Doc. Asher says it's rough.
Brutal. Haven't seen men chopped up like that since the service.
How many?
2 men, tellers. They must have caught, 30 slugs. The bank guard got hit pretty hard, too. He tried to stop him.
Over there?
Yeah. Shoulder and arm torn up. Tellers are down here. They really had it.
No. Yeah. cover them up.
Lab men aren't through with their pictures.
Oh, all right.
I've given sedatives to the girl over there, hysterical.
I can understand that. Is the manager of the bank here?
Oh, that's him over there, Ben. Name's Thomas Franklin.
Oh, all right. Get the employees into his office. Keep the others over there.
Right.
And Asher?
Yeah, Ben.
Have the officials take a count on what money's left.
Oh, they're working on it now.
Doc, can I talk to the guard?
You can try. Dr. Walters is working on it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd better make it fast, Ben.
Right. Can you hear me?
Missed him. Clear shot. But I missed.
You get a good look at them?
Hit the alarm. Get police here.
Well, the police are here. Are you sure you missed?
Yeah.
He's hit hard, Ben.
Yeah, he's sure trying.
Two more ambulances in front, Doc.
Okay, let's get this man on the way. Keep that plasma going.
Think he'll make it, Doc?
He'll lose that arm anyway.
The teller's over there?
Yeah. What's left of them?
Doc, I want your lab reports as soon as possible. Slugs and cartridge cases. We'll try for a make on the guns.
All right, I'll get on the slugs, then.
They're really unloaded, huh?
100 rounds at least.
Oh. That's a tough way to get it.
You know a good way? Where's Mr. Franklin's office, Doc?
Oh, over there.
Quine, let's go. Mr. Franklin?
Yeah?
I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Quine.
Yeah?
I'd like to ask some questions, if you don't mind.
Yes, of course. Sit down.
Thank you.
Terrible thing. Terrible.
Tell me, where were you when this happened?
Here. That is, I was standing at the door here.
Door to your office?
Yes, I was talking to Miss Haynes. She's my secretary.
Did you see them come in?
I saw them. There were three men.
Can you describe them?
I thought they were orchestra men.
Orchestra? Well, how do you mean?
They were all dressed alike. Suits, hats, ties, all matched.
Uh-huh. What about the features?
Well, I don't know. They all looked alike, too.
You mean their faces?
Yes, they're all the same. Thought I was dreaming.
Were you close enough to notice if they wore masks or makeup?
It was like a dream, a horrible nightmare. What?
The lieutenant asked if they wore masks or makeup.
Well, I don't know. Everything happened so fast. And then Lee and Joe, when they seemed to tear apart. I've never seen anything like that. I guess I fainted.
Well, it's a natural reaction, Mr. Franklin. You needn't feel ashamed.
Well, I do, though. I can't help it. And folks, Lee's wife is expecting a baby. I'll have to call her and tell her.
Get Dr. Carson Quine, sure. Now, look, the police are taking care of telling the family, Mr. Franklin.
Those gunmen killing like that.
The police are taking care of that, too, Mr. Franklin.
Up. I looked at him
you
and then
me
turned.
See what you can do,
Doc.
Uh-oh.
Please call Lee's wife.
Let's get him on the divan.
Yeah, right.
I'll give him a high call.
Right.
Take off the coat,
please.
No,
thanks. You want to report?
Is Mr. Franklin all right?
Nasty shock for a man his age. Doctor's taking care of him.
I'm Miss Haynes, the secretary. May I help?
Lieutenant Guthrie, Miss Haynes. I'd like to ask some questions, if you don't mind. Did you see the men?
Oh, yes.
How close were they?
Mr. Franklin and I were talking there at the door. I guess I was 20 feet from the nearest one.
Can you describe the men, the clothes, features, voices, anything like that?
Yes. Tell the truth, I was so scared I couldn't think.
Well, how were they dressed?
They all wore dark brown suits and brown felt hats. They all matched with the same styling and material and everything. I didn't pay much attention at first, that is.
Oh, well, why not? Isn't it unusual to see three men all dressed alike?
No, not around here. We have some theatrical agencies in the building and all kinds of odd characters come and go. I guess I just thought they were a combo.
A combo?
Yes, you know, a small musical group.
Oh, yes. Well, what about their features?
Well, I remember I started to turn back to my desk when I realized they all looked alike. I mean, their faces were all the same. And I saw Mr. Franklin staring so funny. And then I heard the guns.
Their faces were all alike?
Yes, like masks.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, Ben. We've got to leave.
Just a second, please. What kind of masks, Miss Haynes?
Well, I'm not really sure that what they were.
Well, were the faces like Halloween masks?
Well, yes, only They weren't so grotesque.
Well, they sell that kind too, Miss Haynes. Excuse me a moment, please.
Yes, surely.
What do you have, Corny?
I should find a dead man down the Broadway cable tunnel.
Gunman?
Yeah.
The guard thought he'd missed.
He didn't. Hit him pretty hard.
Finally stopped him, huh?
Uh-uh. His buddies knocked him off. 2 and a half.
Let's have a look.
Out this way. Big telephone company work canvas stretched around a cable intake at the side entrance.
Uh-huh. And what do the phone men say?
No phone men there. A bunch of equipment laying around.
Down this way, Ben.
Yeah, he started to bleed here.
Uh-huh.
Out of the bank. Behind his work canvas down that manhole.
Sure no fuss with a getaway car. More blood here.
Mallory, call in. Get the phone people down here on the double. Let's go.
Don't slip on that ladder.
All right.
Hey, what you standing
on? Give me a hand here.
Hand me that flashlight.
Yeah.
This puts us on the Broadway. Runs north and south.
Turn your flash on.
Right. We're down this way.
A bigger tunnel than I thought.
Yeah, it carries all communications and power.
Watch these pipes.
Yeah.
Oh!
I told you to watch the pipe.
I know it. I know it.
How far have we come?
About 50 yards. He's up here.
Oh. I'll hold the lights then. Oh, yeah.
God caught him inside.
His partner sure messed him up.
Can't tell much what he looked like. We'll get a make off the prints. They had it figured pretty good.
Cigarette?
Yeah, thanks.
Ben?
Yeah.
I could use an aspirin.
Get in the Ground Observers Corps. Scan our skies in short volunteer periods and fill up the holes in our radar defenses. Intercontinental war is possible. A fully manned Ground Observer Corps is the best answer for now. To enroll, phone or write your local Civil Defense Center or write Ground Observer Corps, Air Force, Washington, D.C. That's your local Civil Defense Center or Ground Observer Corps, Air Force, Washington, D.C.
Coming.
They change clothes here.
Beginning to figure.
Yeah. Two suits, two masks.
Uh-huh. More of these over something else.
Yeah. There are exits down there.
Mm-hmm. Hey. See daylight.
Yeah, a tunnel takes the right angle.
Look out for these beams.
Now you tell me.
You hurt?
I tore my pants.
Oh.
Hey, what are you guys doing down there?
Hi, Pete.
There, grab my hand.
Right. Still sore, Pete?
Sore? Oh, you mean the lineup. Those guys had me going.
They sure did. Phone equipment here, too, huh? Where are we?
Alley parallel to Main and off second.
Second? That's 2 blocks from the bank.
Yeah.
Pete, see if the telephone people have gotten to the bank yet. If they have, get them down here.
Right. Oh, say, Coyne. You tore your pants.
I know it. I got a headache, too.
He's over here, Mr. Davis.
Ben?
Yeah?
That's Mr. Davis, division foreman of the phone companies, Lieutenant Guthrie.
Hello, Mr. Davis.
I got your call, Lieutenant. Came right over.
Thank you. Were you at the bank?
Stopped there first. Certainly a tragedy.
Yeah. Now tell me, is that equipment down there yours?
Oh, sure. Belongs to Truck 37. It's a sign of Jimmy Willard's crew.
How long's Willard been with the company?
12 years. Good man. I hardly think he's mixed up in this.
Well, somebody with cable experience is in on it. Has to be.
Yes, you're right. I've ordered all drivers to report in.
Good.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Davis. The lineman over there is holding a call from your office.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me, Lieutenant.
Sure. Cargo, will you follow through on that guy? Tell him to rush the identification.
Sure, Ben.
Put out an APB on this truck. Here's the card.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's all we can do here, Ben.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Guthrie.
Yes, Mr. Davis.
It's the office. They found the truck driver, Jimmy Willard. He's in the hospital. Been slugged.
Get over there, Quinn. What time is it, Quine?
2:05.
No wonder I'm hungry. I went right through lunch.
Well, Pete's bringing some sandwiches.
Good. What'd you get at the hospital?
Well, Willard's still foggy. Took a pretty bad beating. Thinks it's a guy named Fritzy Morris.
Morris? Telephone man?
Was. Got fired. Troublemaker. Crockett's checking the file.
Good. Well, we found that phone company truck.
Well, yeah, where?
It's at the bottom of Lost Lake.
Lost Lake in State Park?
Mm-hmm. Two kids phoned in about 20 minutes ago, said a guy drove it up to the cliff, got out, and let it roll into the lake.
Oh, that's a break. Well, who's on it?
Asher. He's got a crew up there now. Kids were pretty excited.
Oh, bet.
It was kind of funny. Kids figured on getting a tanning.
While playing hook?
Yeah. Took them 2 hours to get up the nerve to call in.
2 hours? The hoods must have driven straight out to the lake.
Mm-hmm. Then the guy drove away in a black Chevy coupe.
License?
No, they didn't get that.
Well, where are the kids now?
Ash is buying them chocolate sodas. And what did you find out?
Here's the make. This gunman's got a record a mile long. Name's Miller, Frank Miller. Armed robbery. Got out 4 weeks ago.
Hey, got onions on him.
Yeah, it smells good.
Yeah, he's yours. Ketchup and milk.
Lieutenant Guthrie.
Ben, this is Asher.
Hi, they get the truck out?
Yeah, there's a dead man in it. Two slugs in the head.
Any leads?
Yeah. Guy's billfold has a rent receipt in it. Made out to Paul Morris, dated 2 weeks ago. Apartment 2B on West Palmer Drive. The address is 1327.
1327 West Palmer Drive, apartment 2B. You set a stakeout?
They're on their way.
Good. We'll meet you there. Shouldn't have eaten that onion.
Why? Thought you like onions.
I do. They don't like me.
Oh. There's Asher.
Yeah.
Blocks closed tight, Ben.
Good. Your stakeout set here?
Three on each side, six in the back. We're covering the front.
We seen anyone in the apartment?
There's a Chevy in the garage registered to Morris.
Okay. We'll check the manager first. There it is. Let's see. This is Charles Carter.
Just a minute. Yes?
Mrs. Carter?
Yes.
We're police officers, Miss Carter. We'd like to ask you some questions, if you don't mind.
Police? Why, my goodness, what's wrong?
We're looking for someone, Miss Carter.
Oh?
Has anyone moved into the building recently?
Only those two men in 2B. They moved in about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe them?
Oh, yes. One's tall and dark, very handsome. Why, what have they done?
You have those mugshots, Pete?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Is this the man?
Yes. That's Mr. Morris. Is he a crook?
Among other things, yes. Pete will get Asher.
Sure.
Miss Carter, you stay in your apartment there. Maybe trouble.
Oh, gracious.
And keep your door locked. All right, let's go. Second floor.
You'd think the place would have an elevator.
Yeah. You gonna bowl tonight? We drew a bye.
All right, this way. Now walk easy. Easy. All right, cover me.
Open up, Morris. Police officers. Morris, the building's surrounded. We're giving you a chance. Come out with your hands up. Hit the lock, Asher. Stand back. Let him have it.
okay?
Yeah?
Yeah, got plaster all over me.
Boy, he really had an armory here.
Oh, come here, man.
Huh?
Well, there's the money. He must have been counting it.
Yeah.
Ben.
Huh?
You been eating onions?
Yeah.
Want some gum?
Well, thanks.
The lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call out the number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please...
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie, with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Cogger, was written by William J. Ratcliffe, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Hi Everback, Peter Leeds, Tony Barrett, Howard McNear, Sidney Miller, John McIntyre, and Jeanette Nolan. The Lineup was produced and directed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle.
Part of CBS Radio's Wednesday night lineup at 10, that was The Lineup, a broadcast first heard on June 17th, 1952. And that brings to a close this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.